sitting there thinking, as John was making mention of our son playing the guitar, I did show him three or four chords when he was 5 or 6 years old, and he just grabbed a hold of it and took off. And he has forgotten more than I ever knew, and I am thankful, and I know it all comes from God. The Lord gave him that gift, and he is using his talents, his gifts, for the glory of our Savior, and I'm very thankful. And hopefully him and his wife and their two daughters will be able to join us for our summer conference. Anyway, we're so thankful you're here, and once again we welcome you and trust our Lord will bless us as we look into his word. So as an introduction to this morning's message, I want to draw your attention to an article in today's bulletin by John Warburton. It's on the inside of the bulletin on the left page, right underneath the article by our own dear brother and member of this church, Michael Smith. I made this statement at the close of our Bible study Friday night. We, which includes all true believers, not just us here at Rescue Baptist Church, but we are in an all-out war against self-righteous works religionists. We dare not, we must not compromise the gospel. We cannot do that. The gospel of God's sovereign grace and his sovereign mercy, which he freely bestows upon his people through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, gives him all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. But there are multitudes, millions of professing Christians who are trying to rob God of his glory by preaching and teaching salvation based upon the works of man, and grace and works cannot mix. The Word of God clearly teaches that. John Warburton said, "The longer I live, the more I feel that if there was one thing left undone, if the devil were not conquered, sin not expiated, justice not satisfied, the law not honored and magnified, death not overcome, and every burden carried, I should not have a ray of hope. I see and feel now that if one hair breadth is left for me to do to merit heaven or bring as a plea before God, I am undone forever and ever." End of quote. And that is so true, folks, so true. And I'm getting up in years, and I don't know how much longer the Lord will allow me to stay in this life, but I feel the same way as John Warburton. I have nothing to offer. I've been blessed of God, allowed of him to be serving him since I was 29 years old. And what I was taught when the Lord first saved me is more true and more meaningful to me now than ever before. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 16. I know we're going through the book of Hebrews in a verse-by-verse study, but we embarked on a message that I entitled last Sunday, "The Enlightened Mind of a Believer." And my Lord brought this subject to my mind from these words in Hebrews 11 and 15, speaking of the Old Testament saints who died in faith. The Word of God says about them, "Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they would have had an opportunity to have returned. But they weren't mindful. The country God had delivered them from was not dominating their thoughts. Their thoughts and their minds were dominated by the sovereign power of God Almighty, who had delivered them, who had determined their eternal destiny way before the foundation of the world, and who had set their affections on things above. They looked for a heavenly city whose builder and maker was God." We covered that already. And their minds were set on that. And that's the enlightened mind of every believer. We've set our affections By God's grace, we've set our affections on things above, not on the things of this world. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. And we know that God is in control of everything. And if He has enlightened our minds, we know that He purposed before this world began. And we heard it read in Scripture this morning during a devotional that John brought, that God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So God determined our destiny.
Yes.
That's contrary to popular doctrine, but it's the truth. And He's the one who has delivered us. And He's the one who will yet deliver us. And the Old Testament saints knew this. They had their eye on God, who is in sovereign control of everything. And I introduced a three-point outline to you last Sunday on the enlightened mind of a believer. The destiny of God's elect, number one, the destiny of God's elect is determined by Jesus Christ the Lord. And the deliverance of God's elect is accomplished by Jesus Christ, who is the deliverer of His redeemed children. Not only did He redeem us, delivering us from the wrath to come when He offered Himself as a supreme sacrifice for our sins, He delivered us when we were in darkness. He's the deliverer. Amen. He came to us when we had no hope. Not only did we not have any hope, we liked what we were doing. We were so much in love with that darkness that we were in, we didn't want the light. The Word of God teaches that. But He gave us a new heart. Isn't that wonderful? A new heart to want Him not only as our Savior, but as our Supreme Lord who rules over everything.
Amen.
And that's going to be my subject this morning, and that's the third point. God's elect are completely dependent upon Jesus Christ for all things, not only that pertain to our physical life, but also that which pertains to our spiritual life. He's on the throne. Jesus Christ is on the sovereign throne of power. He's the exalted, glorified Son of God, the God-man who rules and reigns over this whole universe and everything in it. Before I read the scripture in Proverbs 16, let me quote a scripture from Philippians referring to the glorified Son of God. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because of that, God has highly exalted Him, has highly exalted Jesus Christ, the one who suffered and bled and died on that cruel cross 2,000 years ago. God hath highly exalted Him and has given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on this earth, things under this earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ as Lord for the glory of God the Father. That's what we must do. If we want to be saved, the Word of God says, if we will believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And I brought out last Sunday. I brought it out the Sunday before. I brought it out last Friday night. I'll bring it out again this morning. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. And if we believe that, if we believe that God has raised Him from the dead and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we shall be saved. The Greek word for Lord is Kyrios. It means supreme controller. And in our unregenerate state, we shook our fist in His face and said, we will not have this man rule over us. But now, because we have a new heart, we delight in the fact that He not only rules over us, but over everything. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Are you with me in Proverbs 16? Look at the last verse. Verse Well, that's not the scripture I wanted. I thought it was Proverbs 16. Yes, it is. Verse 33. I was looking at a different verse. But look at verse 33 of Proverbs 16. It says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Do you know what that means? Let me tell you what that means. It's like when we write the names of 8 or 10 different people and put them in a hat, and whatever name is drawn, that person will get the reward or the position or whatever it is that they're drawn names for. The whole thing is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. God determines what name is going to be drawn from the hat. And that's the way Israel had the land divided unto them. Lots were cast. But God determined what portion of the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. That was determined by our Lord Jesus Christ. The same God who became a man. And it doesn't just have reference to that. It has reference to everything. There's no such thing as chance. Every roll of the dice and the outcome is determined by my Lord Jesus. Every lottery ticket that is bought and purchased and people awarded money because they had the right lottery ticket, that's determined by my Lord Jesus. Every card game where people are holding cards and wins that game, whether it's solitary or whether it's poker, it doesn't matter. My Lord Jesus determines the outcome. Every slot machine, and there's millions of them on the face of this earth, every jackpot that is brought forth from those slot machines is determined by the one who is Lord of all. I'm telling you the truth. He's in control of everything. It's not just a little thing here and a little thing there. Let me take you to another scripture. Go over, if you will, to the book of James. This is free. This is my introduction to the message. Go to the book of James chapter 4, if you will. The majority of the people of this world, including the majority of professing Christians, do not believe on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They will say they believe He is sovereign, but then they destroy what they're saying by the doctrine that they're under. They don't give Him all the glory. They even believe they determine their own eternal destiny, that He has put that into the hands of men. And they'll determine their destiny by their decision for Jesus. That's not true. That is a false lie. And it robs God of His glory. So the majority of the people of this world absolutely hate the sovereign power of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Now the Old Testament saints believed in the sovereign God. They knew God was in control. Abraham knew, and he was told by God Himself, that his posterity, his natural seed, those people who became known as the nation of Israel, would go down into Egypt and be in Egyptian bondage. And God arranged the whole thing to come about just like He told Abraham. Brother Michael Smith, in his Sunday school lesson, is taking us through the life of Joseph, and he's bringing that out. His brothers hated him, hated Joseph, which typified Christ being hated of His brethren without a cause. They sold him into slavery to a group of Ishmaelites who were going down into Egypt, of all things. The same place where God told Abraham His people were going to go. And Joseph was exalted to the position of prime minister over all of Egypt, right under Pharaoh. That was God's doing. And then God brought a famine to where there was no food in the land but down in Egypt. And He had given Joseph the wisdom to interpret Pharaoh's dream so that in the 7 years of plenty, they stored up a lot of food. And during the 7 years of famine, they had food enough to spare. And Jacob, which is Israel, and his family had to move down into Egypt for food. And that's exactly what God had purposed. Yes. I'm telling you the truth. God was in control of that whole situation. And there was a remnant, a select few, who knew this about God. They knew he was in control. Abraham knew it. Joseph knew it. When he was on his throne, he told his brethren when they got down into Egypt, when God delivers you, you make sure that you bring my bones out of this pagan land. He knew God was going to deliver them. But only the enlightened mind of the believers back then knew that. And I told the folks Friday night, I said, we have the honor. Who would have ever thought it? That here in this little spot in Rescue, where the majority of the people of this world have never even heard of Rescue, God has established a gospel preaching church that believes in the truths of the gospel, as Brother John brought out, who Jesus Christ is, what he has done, what he is yet doing. God has revealed that to us. And we dare not compromise that truth.
No.
God is in control of every heart. The Word of God tells us in Daniel 4:35 that all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He, God, does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Nobody can stop God from doing what He has purposed. And who are we as finite human beings created by God Himself? Who are we to question God for who He is and what He does? We're the clay. He's the potter. And the clay can't say to the potter, why did you make me this way? We read that in Romans chapter 9, by the way. Are you with me in James? Look at chapter 4. Starting at verse 13, and this is the inspired word of God. James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice and you're boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. Folks, listen. God is in control of every person who goes into every city. And whatever it is that they have purpose to do in that city. And whoever comes out of that city. Now, it might not be a big feat compared to what takes place right here in Rescue, people coming and going, for God to be in control of that. But how about in Sacramento? San Francisco. Los Angeles. New York. Hong Kong. Or any big major city, from the biggest city in the world down to a little place like Rescue. God controls every person that goes in and out of that city and determines what that person is going to do before that person leaves the city. And this is how we ought to pray. Not, well, here's what I'm going to do, but God willing. God willing. You see, He controls every heart. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and like a river of water, He moves it whithersoever He will. That's what the Word of God says. So get that in your mind. He's so much in control that every person going in and out of these major cities is under God's control and doing just exactly what God has purposed for those people to do. Isn't that something? Did you know that the Word of God tells us that God is so perfect that even His thoughts are perfect? He never has to give a second thought, in other words, to anything that He purposed to do. It was so perfect that what God has thought, and it goes all the way back into all eternity, He brings it to pass just exactly as it was in His mind without ever having to give a second thought to it. While we're here in the book of James, will you turn back to chapter 1, the salvation of God's elect. And just because we're here, I want to really stress this. The salvation of God's elect. Is it God's will or man's will? I ask that because the majority of professing Christians believe that it's man's will, even though we read in Romans 9:16, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Yes.
Listen to this. James, moved by God the Holy Spirit, says in verses 17 and 18 of this first chapter, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Of his own will begat he us. God has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, we have experienced the miracle of the new birth according to God's sovereign will, and that which he purposed before this world was ever created. Now, who do we believe? What modern preachers are saying, or what the Word of God is clearly teaching us? Well, if your mind has been enlightened by God the Holy Spirit, we'll believe what the Word of God says. Of his own will begat he us. Not according to anything that we have done, but according to the truth of his gospel. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. In other words, the gospel comes to us when we're under the preaching of it. And I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And so God performed a miracle. If our mind has been enlightened under the preaching of his gospel, and it was his will to bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. All of that was free. I'm dealing with the subject of our complete dependence upon Jesus Christ, not only for all things pertaining unto life and godliness, not only our spiritual well-being, but our physical well-being as well. Everything we have comes from God. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. If we don't have Christ, spiritually speaking, we have nothing at all. But if we have Christ, spiritually speaking, we have it all. All the blessings of God are in Christ Jesus. And they're ours. We read this in the first chapter of Ephesians. They're ours. All the blessings of God. They're ours. But everything that we need concerning our physical well-being also comes from God. Now here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 7, we read these words. For who maketh thee to differ from another? I'm getting there. I can quote it, but I want to read it right from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 4. Or 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7. I'll get it. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? What do we have that we did not receive? Who makes us to differ from another? Now give some thought to that. God is the one who has determined not only where we would be born, not only when we would be born, but he determined who our parents would be. He determined what color of eyes we would have. He determined what color of skin we would have. He determined whether we would be male or female. He determined that we would be just exactly like he created us through the process of procreation. Nothing happens by chance. I love that truth, don't you? Let me tell you why. In some of these major cities, and not just major cities, in some of the small little towns as well, there are people who are murdering other people. There are child molesters. There are people who have nothing but evil in their minds, and they go all night throughout the night thinking of how they might rob you of your monies. There are people in different parts of the world who are creeping into our countries, who are strapping bombs to themselves, blowing up people, thinking they're doing God a favor by taking their own life and killing others in the process, calling us infidels. We could be like those people.
Right.
We could be in the camp of those people. Just stop and think about Pharaoh and his whole Egyptian army as they pursued Israel between two walls of water that God had parted down in the Red Sea. I have thought about that. And I've said to people, it would have taken something bigger than a man to get me to go in between those two walls of water. Well, there was something bigger than a man that moved Pharaoh and that whole Egyptian army. His name is Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
And God destroyed him right before his people, showing him that he's in control of it all. So I'm thankful for the fact that God makes us to differ. Now let me say this, so that you don't misunderstand me. We were just like those evil people, those wicked people in our unregenerate state. You say, I never murdered anybody. No, you had hate in your heart. That's, our Lord Jesus said that. You're the same as a murderer if you had hate in your heart. In our unregenerate state, we were just as sinful as the most sinful man that will be turned into the lake of fire. But God's grace and his mercy bestowed upon us delivered us from that awful pit that we were in. And he's the one who set us free. Jesus Christ the Lord is our exalted King who created all things, our Creator, who makes us to differ. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. And what do we have that we haven't received? That's why I mentioned Daniel, our son, who's playing the guitar for our offertory music and that last song that we sung. That gift comes from God. He gives that as it pleases him. Jesus Christ is our heavenly Joseph. He's on his throne of power, and he has all the keys to all the heavenly storehouses. And he gives liberally as it pleases him. Why would we boast about what we have? Or about us being different? You know, I think this is important to stress because love covers a multitude of sins. And we're a church family. We still have the old nature. We still have wrong thoughts. We still do wrong deeds. God help us not to, but we still do that. But the love that he has put in our hearts should just spill over into the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ in such a way that it's obvious. When we start talking to others about our own children, usually, this is a rule that most of us can identify with. There are exceptions to every rule. But usually, we brag on our children. We don't talk about their faults. And in my unregenerate state, I really thought my children were better than others. And I found out since they've grown up that they were the worst of the lot. But generally speaking, we brag on our children. We don't hang our dirty laundry out on a clothesline concerning their evil deeds. We don't talk about them. We brag on what they have done or what they're doing. Well, shouldn't that be the way we are? As far as our love for each other is concerned, a little old tongue is a terrible thing, and gossip is a terrible thing. And if we see faults in our brothers and sisters in Christ, overlook those faults. Love covers a multitude of sins. We're quick to talk about something we might have done. Gossip is a terrible thing, and Satan loves to get the advantage in a little church body of believers like we have here by causing division through that little old tongue. If somebody offends you in our little church family, that's between you and that person. Go to that person. Talk to that person in love, privately. Don't spread it throughout the church body and throughout the community and talk about somebody as if you have no faults of your own. I have plenty of faults, and you heard me just say not long ago, I'm thankful you can't read my mind. If you could read the thoughts that go through my mind, you wouldn't come and hear me preach. But I try to keep those thoughts down. I pray, God help me.
Amen.
I'm a sinner saved by your grace, and these things that go through my mind, don't let them come out in the open.
Yes.
Shut my mouth. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what do we have that we haven't received? No wonder the Word of God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No wonder the Word of God says, do all things without murmuring. He's in control of it all. I've had this happen to me, and you might have experienced the same thing. Going down the freeway, 65, 70 miles an hour, coming up to an exit in the right lane, and somebody goes around me and has to get off at that exit and almost takes my front fender off on his way off the freeway. I've had that happen not too long ago. Nothing behind me. All he had to do was slow down and get behind me. No, he had to be in such a hurry, he almost caused a wreck. And I said, you idiot. Well, he was an idiot. But what I should have said, Lord, thank you. Thank you that he didn't hit my fender. There's a reason for all things.
Amen.
And we need to realize and embrace this glorious truth. God's in control of all things. All things. His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll bring this to a close by this passage of scripture. In the last part of the first chapter of Ephesians, the Word of God plainly declares, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Folks, listen, we're completely dependent upon Jesus Christ for all things. I'll be 75 years old my next birthday. And from my mother's womb until this present day, I have never lacked for food, for clothing, for housing. God has provided my every need. Why would I doubt his providential hand to provide my needs for tomorrow? Really, we're not to take any thought for tomorrow. That's going to take care of itself. There's enough evil for this day to be concerned about. But we need to trust God. And I'm bringing before you the truth concerning Jesus Christ, my Lord, that we might learn to trust him. Our Lord taught us while he was on this earth during his public ministry that God takes care of the sparrows. Be of good cheer, he said. You're of more value than the sparrows. Won't God take care of you if he takes care of the sparrows? Of course he will. Now, I'm not saying that we're just to sit down on the couch, fold our hands, and say, well, God's going to take care of me, so I don't have to do anything. No, that's not what the Word of God teaches. He that won't work, don't let him eat. But if we're able to work, if we have the strength to work, if we have the wisdom to perform the job that God has been pleased to give to us, that comes from him. So we thank him. We plan as if we have another 100 years to live, but live as if this very day is the last day we'll be here on this earth, knowing that we must stand before our Maker. And then we'll give him all the glory for everything that he's been pleased by his providential hand to give to us while we walked in this life. His name is Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the saints of Ephesus in the last part of this chapter, starting at verse 15, stressed this very truth. He said, "Wherefore I also," verse 15, "wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints." Now these are saints he's writing to. These are people who have faith in Christ. These are people who manifested their faith in Christ by their love one for another. But he still says in verse 16, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And here's his prayer: "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit and wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him." Now they already have some knowledge, or they wouldn't have faith. But we come into a living union with God as babes in Christ. And we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior as we're under the preaching of His gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My little children, all six of them, were infants at one time that we could hold in their arms and cuddle and love. They never had any fear of their next meal. And I never, God help me if I did, and I'm sorry, I never tried to discuss financial things in the presence of our children. As they were growing up, I wanted them to think that everything that they needed was provided. And after the Lord delivered me, I pointed to Jesus Christ as the one who provided all of those things. One of our children, when their mama told them that we didn't have enough money for whatever it was that they wanted, they said, one of them said, "Well, Mommy, you still got checks. You have a lot of money." Well, they didn't realize we better have the money in the bank to cover those checks. But my point is telling you this. We, as God's children, are babes in Christ. And we don't know this at first, but this is revealed to us as we grow in grace, that Jesus Christ is in control of everything. And as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him, our understanding grows. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this is my prayer for me. This is my prayer for you. That God, who has already given us enough wisdom to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He would give unto us the spirit and wisdom, or more wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." You see, we're talking about the enlightened mind of a believer. And this is my prayer, that our minds might be enlightened by the Spirit of God to this wonderful truth: "My God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus the Lord." That we won't worry about tomorrow. That we'll trust Him, not only for tomorrow, but the remainder of this day. That we'll trust Him for everything. That we'll know that He's in control. Listen to me. Job was a man who lost everything. He lost his children. He lost all of his worldly possessions. He lost his health. He was covered with boils that he could not get out of pain, no matter what position he tried to put himself in. Now we know that Satan afflicted him. But how many of us know that he had to get permission from God before he could do that? That's what the Word of God says. And Job said this, even though he probably knew that Satan had afflicted him, he said this: "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Shouldn't this be our attitude? Shouldn't we have this understanding? Well, that's my prayer. That we'll know that He, our Lord Jesus, is in control. He freely gives us all things to enjoy, but he can hold them from us whenever he is pleased to do that, to test us to see if we really trust him. And I hope that we do. Read on. It says in verse 19, and this is Paul's prayer for the saints at Ephesus, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Brother John brought this out in his devotional this morning, that if we suffer afflictions for the preaching of the gospel, for the testimony of the gospel, for our witnessing of the gospel, if we suffer afflictions according to the power of God, God's power controls those who oppose the gospel, who persecute true believers, as well as those who believe the gospel. We've been talking about this going through the book of Acts on Friday night. When Paul and Barnabas went on that first missionary journey, God blessed their preaching, saving not only unbelieving Jews, but unbelieving Gentiles. And they suffered persecution. But God was the one who withdrew his restraining hand from unbelievers to let Paul and Barnabas know when they were persecuted, it was time to move on, to continue on their missionary journey. God's not off the throne just because people oppose what we preach and what we believe. He's on the throne throughout everything that happens in our lives. And you can't take him off the throne, neither can anybody who does not believe, neither can the devil and all the fallen angels. He's there to stay. And as long as Jesus Christ is on his throne, we can echo the words of the Old Testament writer, "It is well with the righteous." It is always well with the righteous. But we need to be enlightened to this sovereign power of Jesus Christ our Lord, which he wrought in Christ, it says in verse 20, when he raised him from the dead, now catch this, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the power that raised us from the state of spiritual death and has given us faith to believe that Jesus Christ is on his throne. He's on his throne in heaven. Far above, look at verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He's above everything. All things are under his feet. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. I pray this morning earnestly, I hope, from the heart, I hope, that my Heavenly Father would enable me to exalt his Son. This is what's pleasing to God our Father, that we'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as he is set forth on the pages of Holy Scripture. This is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, to take the things of Christ and reveal them to us. If we want to be used of God, pray this way. Lord, help me to be a faithful witness for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's God's will, that we'll glorify his Son, that we'll see him on his sovereign throne of power with all things under his feet. And Paul prayed that this would be the very thing that the saints at Ephesus would grow to understand, that our minds would be enlightened to this wonderful truth. Someone said, if Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. But he is Lord of all. That same man that was crucified on that cross is the exalted God-man on his throne in glory right now, ruling over this whole universe, working all things after the counsel of his own will. And we read in verse 22 that God had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. All things are under the feet of Jesus Christ, and he's our glorious head. Listen, we can function if we lose a finger. We can function if we lose a leg. But we're done for if we lose our head. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We read in the last verse, verse 23, the church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So folks, I bring before you this wonderful truth. We're completely dependent upon the providential hand of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, for all things. minds. Let me leave you with this story. There was a woman who belonged to a local church whose baby was on its deathbed. And the doctors had given up hope. And the church prayed. The mother of that darling baby prayed. And God had mercy. God restored that little baby to good health. And the pastor was visiting the woman, and she was thanking God and praising God, and she made this statement. She said, "God is good." And the wise man of God said, "Yes. But if your baby had died, would he still be good?" She swallowed before she answered, and she said, "Yes." And that's so true. God is good. And everything that happens, God is good.
Amen.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And if our Lord Jesus wasn't in control of all things, that verse would not be true. But it is true. We pray for our loved ones when they go out on a trip that God would protect them and bring them back. And He does. And we say, "Oh, thank you, Lord." How do we react if we lose a loved one? God's still on the throne. He's still in control. And this is the mind of every enlightened child of God. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Brother John.